This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Coach Jen from Studio B in Ocala, Florida. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 20th, episode 727. And this episode is brought to you by the folks at Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Good Tuesday morning to you, and I do mean a good Tuesday morning.
Well, if you insist on being accurate about it.
Only somebody with perfect comedic timing can produce this much energy in one shot. You gotta learn that your time is valuable. Aim is rough, there's a life in between. And the fence isn't fair if you straddle. If you can't change horses in the middle of your dream.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome back to Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you tuning in and listening today. We have Jennifer with us today. Good morning, Jennifer. Thanks for co-hosting.
You're very welcome. We had so much fun at Ada over the weekend.
Yes, we did.
I hate for it to end.
We did have a good time. We got in late last night, and we are glad to be home. You know, it's always fun to go away. It's always fun to come home. And especially when you have animals. And now that I have a pony, I was dying to see my pony again. So it was fun to see my pony and my doggy. And not so much to see the cat. But that's a different story. We did have a good time in Philadelphia. And you know, Jamie usually comes back from trips, almost every trip she ever goes on. And she has all of these stories about traveling and all of these things that happened to her. We're kind of boring. It was a good flight up. It was a good flight back. We didn't, other than
now,
Jennifer. Other than Jennifer getting patted down and at TSA every time.
Why the little swirly thing that they put you in? Like you're gonna, you know, beam me up, Scotty. There is something about my person that sets that thing off. I get the pat down. I get the palm swipe. I get the name. Would you like to go somewhere private for this? Really?
I'm the one that looks like a terrorist with my beard and everything, and they nab you every time.
I'm a little old lady. Do I look threatening?
I know. It is kind of a chuckle. And Jennifer, you were like, no, I don't want to go to the back room. Just pat me down here.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about a neon yellow sports bra that made that machine up unhappy, but it sure did.
That's funny. But, I mean, we really didn't have too much trouble. We had some good flights, and the flights weren't full. That was the surprising part. I think this was the first time we've flown in a long time that the flights weren't full. I heard that Southwest is going to be decreasing the number of flights to Orlando because their flights to Orlando are not full anymore, which is surprising. But
now, let's define not full. Yeah, I think there were 3 empty seats on the entire plane.
Nah, there were probably 20 or 30, actually. There was quite a few, and I haven't been on a flight recently that every one isn't full. And then for the escape row to be not full is unheard of. And I wish I'd known that, because I would have reserved that one. But
it used to be in an airplane the escape row had more leg room.
But frankly,
I think they've reconfigured the airplane so that it hasn't been left.
They definitely had an extra foot. I looked. It was good. We had a good time up there. And if you missed it, tune into yesterday's show, Monday show. We came to you live. Helena was there, and we had a great time. Sissy, Helena's new co-host for her new show that's going to be coming out shortly, was there as well. And we had a bunch of guests on. We had a lot of fun. If you missed me wearing breeches for the first time, you can hear that on yesterday's show. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But first, let's tell you what's coming up on today. We're going to have an hour show for you today. We'll be on till 10 o'clock. And we have a fun show lined up for you. We have Bo from Back on Track Products. We're talking about a serious topic. And because he used to be a harness racer over in Europe. and before he came to the United States, and we love talking to Bo. He's a lot of fun. So we're going to be talking to him a little bit about the new drug testing that they're doing in many different states here in the United States and how he feels about that and how it relates to what he does with his products. And also, we have a listener profile coming up, Lisa, and I don't even know how to say her last name anymore, because I always got, it's either Bick or Bike, and I always got in trouble for saying that wrong, because Jamie would yell at me because I was always saying that wrong, and now she has a new last name that I can't say at all, but she's from Michigan, and she has a big boy, I mean a horse that stands 18 hands tall. And we're going to learn more about her horse and what kind of challenges she's had trying to get that horse to do some things. So we'll talk to her about that. And we have a bunch of news for you from the weekend as well that we have to get caught up on. But first, let's do our Daily Whinnies. My Daily Whinny is one of these. I have a happy birthday going out to two different people. The lovely Victoria Spicer of horseandcountry.tv, who comes on with us every Wednesday morning. It is her birthday today. Happy birthday, Victoria, from across the pond. And also a groom that we've had on the show a number of times. She grooms for an eventer in Virginia. She's a lovely girl by the name of Margot Thomas. And I know Margot listens to the show. So happy birthday to Margot. She is she actually grew up in at the Wright Lead Equestrian Center with Michelle. She was one of Michelle's students and has gone on to bigger things now in Virginia. And she loves grooming for, I forget who she's grooming for up there. I wish I would remember the name of the eventer, but I can't. But happy birthday to both of them. We appreciate you being on the show and listening. And now it is your turn.
And my Daily Whinny goes to our adopted dating couple, followed by our adopted engaged couple, followed by our adopted newlywed couple, and now our adopted new homeowning couple, Katie Murphy and her husband Roger, finally got themselves a home up in New England, and they posted a picture on their Facebook page, which we borrowed, and it's just gorgeous. And I can't wait to hear about the trials and tribulations. I'm sure things will remain highly entertaining now that they are homeowners.
Well, I just heard from Katie actually 2 seconds ago on Facebook, and she said that she'd be happy to come on the show and tell about her trials and tribulations. From what I understand, she went through 5 contracts, like on 5 different homes before they got one to go through. So she has been in the buying nightmare, and that's kind of ironic because she's in the real estate business up there. But this is an absolutely beautiful New England-type home. Absolutely beautiful. Big brick two-story.
It's kind of pink.
Yeah, just...
Is it brick?
Oh, well, you know, I can't tell. Really? No, you know, it might be those old shake shingles. I can't tell from this picture.
I think it's exciting. It looks kind of pink. It's pretty.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And it looks very New England-y. Yes. So well, hopefully we'll get her on to tell her story about how they came to finally get themselves their own little place up there in, I think it's Vermont. Yep. Vermont or New Hampshire? I'm not sure. I'm short on facts this morning. I'm tired. So,
you know, that's something we should do more of. Whenever our listeners and their friends and family who listen are out shopping for a place where they want to keep their horses in their backyard or keep their horses in a horse-friendly community, let us know, and we'd love to follow your adventures finding a home. I know another one of our listeners, Denise, has been keeping us up to date on her travels down here to Ocala to try and find a place, and she just emailed me the other day that she's going to be making yet another trip to the land of dirt roads.
Oh, do we get to meet her again this time? We missed her last time. We were away.
Well, you know, every time she comes down, we seem to have a road trip. So hopefully when she comes down this time, we'll be actually at home and we can get together and have lunch with her or something.
Good. Well, hopefully she'll stop over here to our little radio ranch here in Ocala. Well, we have at the end, if you were listening to yesterday's show, you know the whole breeches thing, and I was wearing breeches because the Fitz girls put me up to it. And we had, they came over and crashed our party, and we just had a lot of fun with them. And at the end of the show, I said, well, you know, I'm going to get them back by just telling them that they have to give away a pair of Fitz breeches on the Equity Wheel of Trivia on Wednesday morning, whether they like it or not. So after the show, I walked over and I told them that they were going to give away a pair of breeches, and they were all for it. They were very excited about it. So the what we're going to do is the first winner for the Equity Wheel of Trivia tomorrow morning will win their choice. They're actually going to give you a choice of which breeches you want. You can pick the which breeches you want, and they will set you up with any pair. That's correct.
Wow.
So that's a good deal. You know, Fitz breeches are you know, that's a serious prize.
They're top of the line.
Yeah.
They're top of the line.
They are top of the line breeches. I know. And, you know.
And worn by celebrities.
And you know what? Anybody that wants a size 34 pair of breeches that has been worn for about 2 hours can have mine, because I will never be wearing them again. Just saying. So I'll gladly send them.
Will they be coveted
you.
Like the ball cap?
I'll sign them for you. I'll sign the butt.
And we're like through into the audience.
I'll sign the butt. But you can have them, because I'm never wearing them again. That was a once and only time that is ever going to happen. So we will be giving those away. Be sure you call. What's that?
They were not as uncomfortable as you anticipated.
No, actually. And, you know, I was surprised that the listeners didn't abuse me more than I thought than I thought they would. As a matter of fact, the main gist of the comments that we got on the pictures on Facebook is that the main comment we got was that I needed boots and socks, right? Yeah, I actually needed boots. Oh, and I got a listener that just Facebooked me that said she'll take them. So you got them.
Yeah, I'll bet.
The listener who just Facebooked me was the first, and I will be sending them out to you. Hope they fit. So now we had some news from the weekend that we need to go over that we really didn't have time to get to. And that the first bit of news was from a story that we covered and a guy that we actually had on the air from his horse, right? And that was the cross country trip.
Way back when, we spoke with Ben Masters, who is doing a cross country trip, and he called it Unbranded. And we came across it way back when on Kickstarter, because we'd like to follow what's going on Kickstarter. There's all kind of cool and interesting stuff, and frequently they are horse-related. And this looks like a really well-planned-out project that they had on Kickstarter. And lo and behold, and I'm sure just because we covered it on our morning radio show, Ben and his friend raised $170,000-some in a mere 45 days, hired some seriously kick-butt videographers who have worked for National Geographic, the kings of visual stardom. And then they got a hold of Cindy Mihiel from Sugar Creek Productions. I might have that wrong. Cindy Mihiel, who made the Buck films. So those three groups have come together, and they're making a film of their adventure across the United States. And what's making it unique is they're using public lands. They spent a great deal of time on research for this trip because they wanted to ride their public horses. They adopted a bunch of Mustangs and broke them themselves, and they weren't horsemen before this, so that was an interesting process, and you can watch the videos on the website. Broke the Mustangs in, and they're trekking across south to north up into Canada using public land. Just to point out that, A, it's still something you can do, and B, because they want to highlight those parts of the country that are open to the public that we can visit and are still pretty amazing. And he makes a comment in an article that we picked up about it being very, very difficult to do this because you have to get permission to ride in a lot of these places, and they never know if a trail is going to be closed down because of a weather-related incident or something like that. And I thought back when Lewis and Clark made their trek left to right across the country, they faced a lot of obstacles. Theirs life-threatening. And Ben and his gang at Unbranded are getting a lot of obstacles, but theirs mostly involve paperwork, but I'm told an occasional grizzly bear encounter. So we're going to try to get those guys back onto the show again here soon and talk a little bit more about the journey on their $125 Mustangs.
Yeah, and that was really, you know, another thing that they were really trying to highlight is that Mustangs are horses that can be used for stuff, and more people should be adopting them. One of the comments he said in here is, Yellowstone Park can shut down a trail we need for a week because a wolf kills an elk on it. You're going to come across barbed wire fences, flooding rivers, and mountain passes with too much snow, but you've got to figure out a way to get on the trip. So they've had so many backups. I think this is going to make a great show. They just have had...
Well, with the team he's got between these adventurers, and they're really great. They're fresh out of college, and this is something they're doing as sort of their graduation gift to themselves and to us. So they're really vibrant and really curious about it. So between the different groups they've got put together with this, I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be another big video hit.
You know, and I didn't realize, you know, we helped them raise money for that when they were on, when their Kickstarter was going on. Mm-hmm. And I just did. Yep. I don't think I put two and two together. I didn't realize that they raised $170,000 in 45 days. They raised a ton of money.
And that's just a drop in the bucket for what it's going to cost to get this thing all the way to it gets to the point where it's on a DVD that we can purchase, or even more exciting, if it ever got to the big screen, even in a independent film kind of a way. So the more the better. Yeah.
Well, on to different news and a little bit sadder news is, and it's all, you know, you've probably heard about it by now, but we just wanted to give our condolences to the family of Tom Gadsby out of New Zealand. He was an inventor that was based in England, and he was killed over the weekend at a CIC One Star at the Somerford Park International Horse Trials in Cheshire. He had a rotational fall, and the horse actually walked away, but he did not. They flew him by air ambulance and took him to the hospital, but he did not make it through that fall. And we just wanted to, you know, give condolences. The eventing community over there is pretty torn up about it. He was a accomplished rider and an eventer. He was 26, but he had spent a couple of years doing show jumping in Germany, and was a show jumper first, and then converted to an eventer. So it's not like, you know, he didn't know how to time fences. This is not an amateur that had a rotational fall here. He knows jumping, and it just goes to show you that this stuff does happen, unfortunately, in the sport that we're in. And we wish his family the best and the whole eventing community. I don't know if we can call it good news, because I don't believe anything that these people say. But we...
I know where you're going.
You know which one I'm going to talk about.
Yeah.
It is time, starting Wednesday, for the Tennessee Walking Horse National Celebration that starts in Tennessee. And we've talked about it. We've talked endlessly about the different things that have gone on around this. And apparently that there's a Shelbyville-based, it's called Show HIO, is a USDA-certified agency that show operators hire to inspect horses and punish trainers for the sign of abuse. Well, they haven't done a whole lot of punishing in the past. Well, now it is said, and that the show organizers for Celebration is the name of this show. The show organizers have agreed that there will be fines for anybody they find that has been soaring. So if you bring a horse in, they're going to inspect them all, and they are going to give them the maximum penalties this year. And it doesn't say in the article what the maximum penalties are. I know there's fines, and I know
no,
that...
No, wait.
Yeah.
It's minimum penalties they've agreed to.
Oh, that's
they've
right. You're right. I got that wrong. I'm sorry.
Penalties.
You're right. The minimum penalties.
There's a big difference there.
Yeah, and the part of the point was that the minimum penalties, even with the minimum penalties, the show organizer said in the statement that anyone who entered the horses by August 6th and who disagrees with the decision on penalties could withdraw the entries and get a refund prior to the event. So here's the show organizer still condoning soaring. By doing what he did and saying, if you disagree with getting penalized because you soar your horses, then you can get out and I'll give you your money back. If he truly was trying to change this system, he would say, if you back out, screw you. But he didn't. So once again, they're just covering up. They're just covering for each other. It just has happened to this. I don't know what it's going to take to fix. And, you know, and one of the things, you know, a federal judge ruled this. And the only reason that they're doing this is a federal judge ruled that the government has the right to do this in a lawsuit. They, after last year's show, where there was some penalties, they fought it. And, you know, they went to court. And the federal judge said, no, the government has a right to make sure you're not abusing your horses. So,
right.
So I don't know what it's going to take.
And Well, it's a little tiny step in the right direction. Little tiny step. Little baby step.
Yeah, and we'll see.
That at least show we've been dead set against any government, you know, imposing any rules. At least we'll relinquish the fact that the Anti-Soaring Act of 1973 or 75 or whatever is a valid piece of legislation. Because before that, they weren't even admitting that it was valid legislation. I mean, they're going, sorry, it doesn't apply to us.
Right, right. Exactly. You know, I don't know. You're right. It is a step. We'll see how many back out, because last year or at different shows like this, when they know inspectors are going to be there, about half the people don't show up. So I'll be anxious to see if there's any reports actually written, and if it makes the news, how many did back out. We'll find that out, I'm sure.
And on a separate but related note, when we were talking about the local beer distributor who represents Budweiser, among other brands, we all got onto the Facebook pages and the email and let Budweiser know that this distributor was there, and they, you know, kind of said, oh, yeah, whatever. Shame on you, Budweiser. But a couple of other brands that this distributor represents, one of them, and unfortunately I haven't had the time to dig out the name of it, Fat Tire Beer. It's a very small brewery, and I emailed them through their website and said, you guys probably don't even know about this. And I sent them the link to the article, and they did write back to me, and they said that they contacted the distributor and made sure that their product was not going to be sold or represented at the show. And kudos to them. Good job.
Oh, wow. You really did make a difference in this one, Jennifer, I got to say. You really did by your single-handed campaign. And I'm proud of you for that, because it just goes to show that with the power of new media today, we can make a difference. You know, one or two people can make a difference. Lindsay White of Riders for Helmets certainly has proved that over the years, but you proved it in this case. And with the help of the listeners, we got Budweiser to, you know, to back off anyway. So good job.
Yeah. So it was as much of a victory as we could reasonably expect. So,
well,
it makes a difference. But now, Yuengling, on the other hand, hasn't said a word, so shame on you guys, too.
Yeah, you know what, though? It takes a little, you know, it takes us chipping away at the glacier to, you know, finally make it into something that's much, much smaller. And when it gets much, much smaller, then this will go away, because there just won't be the money or interest in it anymore. So it takes that chipping away to get it done. I wish we could do the same thing with the government when it involves Mustangs, but chipping away at the government's a little different.
Chipping is very slow.
Yes.
With a tiny little hammer.
All right. One other thing.
On
to a more positive note is they did the WEG test event for eventing happened over the weekend at the National Stud Farm in Haras-Dupin. You know, I don't know if that's how you say it, and I took 4 years of French, and I flunked every year, so we're going to have to learn French, I think, before the WEG next year to pronounce some of these names. But
word of the day.
So that's how I'm saying it.
Word of the day.
It sounds good.
Yeah.
Anyway, an Italian took the lead after dressage. His name was Vittoria Panazon. And I've never heard of him, actually. And he took the lead after dressage and held on to it through show jumping through the whole way through, and actually won on a 45.1 with four faults in show jumping, and stayed ahead of Australian Andrew Hoy. to win that event. I saw some pictures from there. It's absolutely beautiful place. It is a beautiful place. There's a big old stone mansion house, you know, that probably dates back 400 years.
Of course.
That's on the property, and is the backdrop of the property, and it is just beautiful. They said that there were some hiccups that they have to work out, just like when we had our test event here at the Kentucky Horse Park. There were some hiccups. They got through it, and they said that they, you know, have some changes to make on the cross country and stabling and things like that, but they'll make those changes. That's why they do test events. So they'll be doing that. Yeah, so they'll be doing that, and hopefully that'll go off without a hitch in 2014. A couple other things here before we get to our first guest is that we have, you remember, we covered this live, actually. It was happening as we were on the air. You remember back in Zanesville, Ohio, they had the guy who let all of his wild animals loose and then committed suicide. And the emergency responders had lions and tigers and things running around the neighborhood.
Yeah, it was complete chaos,
Yeah, I mean, they had all these wild animals that were deadly wild animals loose, and they ended up having to shoot a lot of them, and, you know, it caused quite a controversy because they were saying, well, you know, did they have to kill them all and all that kind of thing. And, you know, they, you know, I think we did kind of determine that, yeah, if a lion is threatening your, if 20 feet away from you on the street, that's probably the choice that you have, you know. You don't have time to get tranquilizers out there.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that, whose house it was, his property actually went up for sale. And they had an auction. Hundreds of people showed up, horse traders and other people, because he had a lot of horses, remember. There were horses that guy had gotten loose, too. And he apparently had a motorcycle collection. So he had this motorcycle collection. He had horses. He was an eclectic guy. He had vintage cars. It took them months to catalog all the items that were in this auction. It was a huge auction. They had car parts, the horses they sold. They had hot rods. He apparently had a Harley Davidson t-shirt collection that was quite rare and valuable. And they had this auction and sold everything, basically, that was left there. And it was a huge auction. They didn't say how much it went for total, but it drew quite a crowd. And you had to pay $25 per car admission fee just to get in. Because they wanted to control the crowd because thousands of people showed up for it. So
it's interesting that the article doesn't mention anything except some Harley Davidson items, but it sounds like this guy had quite a collection of, let's just say, items, because they seem to stretch across a wide range of topics that had some significant value to them.
They did, and I'm going to see if I can find out more about it for tomorrow's show, see if we can get any idea of what, you know, what some of the stuff went for. But it was a big, big deal in Zanesville, Ohio, and it just caught my eye because we covered that. Remember, as it was happening, we were on the air, and we kept getting updates about it. A couple other things here, too, and while Jennifer gets our guest on the line. Let me see here. Well, that was about it, I guess, news-wise. We've covered most of that. I'm going to go. Why don't we take a break for our sponsor, Equestrian Collections, for their product of the week. And Jennifer is going to get our guest. We're going to do a listener highlight with you here very shortly with Lisa and her 18-hand monster of a horse. We'll be right back.
Hi, Glenn here with the Horse Radio Network, and I am with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with their product of the week, and we actually have a whole line of products.
Yeah, this week I wanted to feature the fact that we now carry Stetson products on our usual English store line, but we have got these Stetson boots. Just go to our site, and you can go under the brand line, click S and go to Stetson. We've got a lot of the riding, the Western riding boots, and we have a lot of the apparel, some of those cute shirts and jeans for both men and women that are the Western design. I know when your listeners hear Equestrian Collections, you think of us as an English shop, and that's true in most cases, but we do carry quite a bit of Western items, and we have just started carrying the Stetson line, which is a really very famous and popular Western wear line. So take a look at it. I know a lot of English people that wear Western boots, especially to work on Fridays, what they call that, casual Fridays. And also, you may have friends that ride Western or show Western, and you might want to let them know that they can shop at our site for their Western wear as well as their horse gear. So take a look at the Stetson collection we have on our website.
And more English riders are wearing Western stuff now as a style. So, you know, that's happening across all the different disciplines. You see everybody showing up with the belt buckles and the boots, and, you know, it's...
Yeah, and these shirts are really cute. They're like street shirts, too. I mean, we have that entire Stetson line. It has the Western kind of shows outfits, but also the everyday stuff. So you can outfit yourself for the street as well as the barn.
Go to EquestrianCollections.com and find all of the Stetson collection. This product highlight was produced by the Horse Radio Network. Listen to all of our shows at HorseRadioNetwork.com.
Well, we got to see Chris from Equestrian Collections yesterday over at the Ada Show. It was always fun to catch up with her and her husband and find out what's going on over there at Equestrian Collections. And, of course, she was there buying all the new products for the season coming up. So it was fun to see her again, and we thank them for their continued support. They've been with us since the very beginning of the Horse Radio Network 5 years ago. Well, one of the things we're trying to do more this year is highlight some of our listeners and do listener profiles with them. And one of our listeners from the very beginning, I think, is Lisa, and she is from Michigan, and we have to talk to her because she knows how I love the big ones, the big horses, and she has certainly got an enormous one, and we're going to talk to her about that, amongst other things. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, Glenn. How are you?
Okay, terrific. Thank you so much for joining us again. Now, I always got in trouble for saying your last name wrong before you were married. Because I always said, I think I always said Bick and or Bike, and we're because it's spelled B-Y-K. How do you say that one?
That one's Bick. Bick. You're correct on that.
Okay. Now, you have a new last name that I can't say at all. So, you want to give us that one?
It's Tomczyk.
Tomczyk.
So you don't pronounce the C at all.
Okay. Tomczyk. So, it's Lisa Bick Tomczyk. Got it.
It is.
All right, good. Well, Lisa, now you're from...
Going from hard to harder.
Yeah, exactly. You couldn't make it easy on me, could you? And of course, Jamie always picked on me every time I got it wrong. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your life growing up with horses.
I actually grew up in a suburb of Detroit, and I didn't own my first horse until I was 16. But I grew up around Arabs and half-Arabs with my aunts and uncles raising and breeding and showing them in halter. So my very first horse was a half-Arab, half-appendix quarter horse that my aunt actually gave to me. And I showed him in the Arab, half-Arab ring, with hunter pleasure, western pleasure, pretty much all around. You know, as your 4-H youth, you pretty much go in any class that you possibly can.
Now, did you have a farm growing up? Was it a family farm, or did you board? Or
I boarded about the farm that I boarded at was an hour away from I actually lived.
Wow, that's a drive.
Yeah, and then we didn't move out to the country here, just out of East Lansing, until 1987. We moved out here in Howell.
So you were much closer to your horse then?
Yep, then I was a mile down the road from where my horse at the time was boarded at my current trainer's.
Now, so you were doing hunter and pleasure and all of that, okay, and did you ever get into eventing or anything with any of those horses?
No, I'm too chicken to jump.
Okay.
Plus, I was in gymnastics for 7 years, and my body was broken after that.
Okay.
You did all of your flipping and landing wrong early on, but yeah, I got it.
Boy,
yeah.
I bet you can dismount. I bet you can dismount prettier than anybody, though.
From the shorter horses, yeah. It hasn't been so pretty the last 2 times that I fell off of Chevy.
Now, let's get to Chevy. So tell us how you came to find Chevy and how you acquired Chevy, and then tell us about Chevy, because I'll tell you what, you know that what my favorite breed is a big black Percheron. And, you know, right. I've owned 18-handers before, but I think this, you went from Arabs to a monster. So tell us how that happened.
Well, in 96, my trainer had a student that was selling a mare for super cheap. She was half Holsteiner and half thoroughbred. So I ended up buying her because I wanted to switch to a dressage. And in 2001... she ended up colicking, a gas colic, and needed surgery. It was after that that I decided that, you know, if anything ever happened to her, I would really like a baby from her. So in 2002, we bred her to a Holsteiner stallion, Coast. And in May 2003, the monster was born. So I've actually owned him since he was born.
Did you have any idea that this horse was going to round out, what, 18 hands?
Yeah, he's 18 hands and 1,500 pounds.
Yeah, or more. I think you're lying a little bit about that.
Now, how tall are mommy and daddy?
Mom was 16 hands and probably about 16 hands wide as well. And dad was 17.1 and a half. And since
we forgot dad's tall jeans. Yeah.
Well, and then it wasn't until after the fact that everyone's like, oh, yeah, the sire line that your mare is, they tend to throw big. Like, oh, thanks, you know. So that kind of throws out the whole thing that the maiden mares tend to foal smaller babies.
Yeah, but throwing big and throwing a monster are two different things. When you're 16 hand and you're throwing big, you know, 17 hands is big. But when you start getting into the 18 hand, almost, you know, 2,000 pound range, I still think you're lying a little bit about his weight, about weight. But so now tell me.
You know how tape measures are.
Yeah, exactly. And
the weight tape.
That's right. We never like to admit we're as fat as we are. So now, when did you get an inkling that this horse was going to, you know, round out at 18 hands?
He was 17 hands by 2.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. He did his growing early, didn't he? Wow.
Yeah, we've had... he hasn't been the most graceful horse up until probably about a year ago, just because, you know, growing so fast, it's taken him a lot of time to just get the coordination.
Well, and that's the thing with the big guys, too, you know, like with the drafts, they don't stop growing till they're like 7. People think, you know, 5, your horse is done growing, and that's true with a lot of breeds, but with draft crosses, you got till 7. They grow, you know, they can grow 4 inches between 5 and 7 sometimes.
Oh, yeah. And especially in the sire line, this whole sire line that Chevy is, they don't tend to mature until probably about age 8, height-wise.
So what issues have you run into owning a big guy like this?
Right now, he's stealing his halter from the fence line. but he got arthritis in his hocks really early on, just because of how fast he grew. But we've been able to keep him sound with hock injections and Adequan. And then it's taken me a lot of time as far as finding the right shoeing that fits him. And it's probably this last 2 years that we finally found a farrier that does a natural balance shoeing.
So how big are his feet? Does he have the pie plate feet of a draft, or are they a little smaller?
He's a size 4 in a regular steel shoe. And then when we switched to the Natural Balance shoe, he's somewhere in between a size 2 and 3. But they do tend to...
big, but not obnoxious. That's just regular.
No.
Big. Yeah, regular big.
Yeah.
Regular huge.
What's like, does he wear a regular large halter, or does he wear a draft horse size halter?
Oversized for his big lug head.
He's playing a little oversized works?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and what size blanket is it?
Yeah.
Can you even buy a blanket off a shelf? Do you have to be custom made?
Blanket is an 87. 90s tend to be a little bit too big, too long in the back. But the 87.
So an 87 is as big as they make off the shelf, really. It's really, really hard to find somebody who makes a 90.
But even an 87, it's hard to find because most manufacturers top out at 84.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Well, and even some of the 87s, it's not deep enough in the chest or shoulder. So the flash sheet that he has on right now, and he's busting through the shoulders.
The other thing we ran into, too, was finding tack, you know, girths that were long enough. We always had that problem. We always had the girth problem because back then they weren't making the extra long girths for the warm bloods when we had ours. So you might have had an easier time with that. What kind of saddle do you use? A wide one.
Saddle is totally custom made.
Yeah.
From a saddle fitter.
It would have to be.
And just because of his size too, here's a little plug for your sponsor. He loves his back on track saddle pads, and that's all that I use on him, just because it helps him stay a little bit looser through the back.
So what?
I imagine if he gets tight, that's quite a battle. If this horse decided he's going to get tight through his back and lean on you, that would be bad news.
Yeah, riding an 18 hand horse that's stiff as a board through the back and up on his forehand and leaning on you for support in the bit doesn't really work very well.
What about personality?
That his bit is 6 inches.
The big drafts tend to be big babies. Is he a big baby or? Personality wise,
He had trouble coming out, so he had to call the vet out to help my mare birth him, and then it took him probably a good 6 hours to be able to stand on his own to nurse.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he was a slow starter, that little guy.
Yeah, and he bit my trainer. He bit my trainer when he was still in the birth canal.
Oh my God.
Has he been causing trouble ever since?
Yeah. And I'm sure he's been checks his position. She's like, "Oh, he bit me. He's a boy."
That's funny. So how's dressage training been going with a big guy like this?
I've taken him out to shows in 2010 and 2011. I think those were the 2 years. Yeah, because I was engaged in 2011. And those were training level and first level. And in 2011, he won every test that I put him in. So now he's starting to train a little bit of second level.
Wow.
With him, it's been really hard because of his size. He's really prone to abscessing in his feet and bruising.
Yep. We had the same problem.
So I've got 4 shoes on all 4 feet plus pads all around. And even then, he'll kick himself just wrong or something. He'll bruise and he'll be off like 2 or 3 weeks. So it's really played a part in as far as causing his training to progress a little bit slower. Because there's been so much downtime with abscessing and bruising.
That is a problem with the big guys. We had that problem with all the drafts we've had. They're known for all of them who had the same problem with the abscesses, and in some of them it was a battle. I mean, you know, at one point the vet and the farrier said you need to put this horse down, and we just wouldn't give up, and we managed getting them through it. But boy, it was a battle all the time.
Yeah, it really is, and it's just a matter of trying to find the right combination of the type of pasture paddock. And problem is he likes to play a lot too, so if we put him with geldings at my trainers when I take him over there for the winter, the whole time that he's outside he's roughhousing with them. So that is, you know, he's...
Can you imagine, Glenn? That's the other geldings must say to themselves, oh my gosh, you put refrigerator Perry out with us and he wants to play. The other geldings are probably terrified.
Well, the two buddies that he's been pastured with is a Clydesdale cross who's 17-1 and a Percheron cross who is, he's probably like 16 hands.
Oh, geez, when the three of them get running, the ground must shake.
Yeah, when you go out to touch him, as soon as they hear the gate rattle, all three of them come galloping at me. Like, oh my God.
Well, I know you have to run here. We appreciate you being on with us, Lisa. And we're going to post a picture in our show notes of your boy, Chevy. And, by the way, why isn't his name like Peterbilt or Mack Truck? You know, Chevy doesn't seem big enough.
Well, his mom was Valboa's Mercedes, so I kept with the whole car thing, and his registered name is actually Al Chevelle.
Oh, okay. All right. That makes sense then.
So I traded down.
Okay.
In name wise.
What American
anyway.
Be for you?
Chevelle, they're more of a Mack truck.
Well, thank you, Lisa. We appreciate you being on and telling us the story of Chevy. We'll post pictures so everybody can see him.
All right. He sounds good.
All right. Thanks.
You're welcome. Bye.
Well, there you go. There's the story of Chevy, and he is a big boy. Wait till you see the pictures. As I said, we'll use that for our show notes picture today at horsesinthemorning.com, and we'll also post the picture on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning as well. Well, she mentioned her Back on Track pad, Jennifer, and we had a chance to catch up with Bo from Back on Track. We love talking to Bo. Bo is always insightful and he never holds back with his opinions and what he has to say about things, and we wanted him to address... you want to tell it? You want to tell what we talked about?
Well, in light of the ever-changing drug rules, competitors at all levels, and especially at the international levels and in the racing industries, which are essentially international levels, it's harder and harder for us to keep track of what tests, what doesn't, what we're allowed to use, what we're not. And it's not just lay people. Even veterinarians have a hard time with it. And, you know, we've all seen the headlines recently of veterinarians who are prescribing products for our horses to help them get through training regimes. And they don't even realize that they're going to test. So keeping our horses healthy and athletic is becoming more and more of a challenge. And we posed that question to Bo to see what he thought on that whole topic. And having been a trainer of racehorses before he started the Back on Track company, he's very, very familiar with those struggles at that level. So it was an interesting conversation. We really enjoyed it. And Bo is just great to chat with. He's a very quiet and unassuming man. But once you get him started, he's a great interview.
Yeah, he actually has quite a sense of humor. And you're right. When you first meet him, you wouldn't think that. But when you get him chatting, we always enjoy talking to him. So let's take a listen to the interview that we did with Bo yesterday at the American Equestrian Trade Association. Well, of course, we have Bo here from Back on Track because we cannot do an American Equestrian Trade Association show without talking to Bo. He has been an institution here for as long as we have, I think.
Yep.
So, Bo, it's good to have you back on the show again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We're going to talk about a serious topic today, a topic that's been coming up over and over again in the professional circles and with competitors all across. It doesn't matter what discipline you really compete in.
It doesn't matter which discipline. It affects everybody.
And that is testing. Testing is getting tougher at shows. They are testing for more things now. The FEI has set down new rules where they're going to be testing for more things. I mean, aspirin, for God's sake, you know, is going to be tested out. And so we wanted to talk to you because you have products that, one, don't test, but two, help the horse.
Correct, yes.
So talk to us about how you foresee that this tougher testing is going to help your business and is really going to help horses by putting your products on them.
Well, of course, they can bring it in anywhere, in a detention barn at the racetrack or in the
quarantine facilities,
yeah,
as well.
You know, the blankets, leg wraps, to keep the horses they help to keep them a little bit sounder, and it actually takes the pain away too, so you don't have to give bute and banamine.
So it's preventative too.
Preventative, yes. And like you said, don't test, since it is tougher and tougher. And, you know, since I grew up in the horse business overseas they have...
You grew up in harness racing,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. And they have a zero tolerance. I mean, there's really? A micro...
They're much tougher there than they are here, and always have been, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can't... Like, in the, between the warm-up and the race, you don't supposed to even hose them down with cold water on the legs if you want to really push it, you know, like... You're not supposed to do that. Here we can ice and things like that. And you know, I'm not for I have back on track products, some is non-test, but we've always been for tougher rules for this. Like, you know, you allow one thing and everybody push the limit, you know, closer and closer. I know a racetrack, they push it so close they can, and then they push it over the limit and they come up positive. I mean... Honestly, we some deal with horses. We supposed to be their friends,
right?
And you know, the human athletes, if they take hormones, yeah, you do that with, you know what you take,
right?
Even if they say they don't know nothing when they show up positive,
exactly.
They do
that.
Anything now. And but you know, to me, it's really a lot. Unfortunately, in the racing business, a lot of the people who come up, they know more about drugs than the vets.
Chemistry is a big topic.
Yeah, yes. I mean, and the things they give horses, you know, I'm not so familiar with everything, but one thing they do a lot on the racetrack or have, and a lot of people have been caught. I'm not saying they do it a lot, but some people...
It happens.
Let me correct it. Some people have caught with the EPO... you know, mm-hmm. You know, that's things you give to a really sick horse or something, just to help them over that thing. But when
those
you keep
horses that are in performance
now, and I mean, you can see at some of them trainers some have done that. They take from a really good trainer, and they improve in a week and second and a half, and the horse look like he can run one more lap.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not really right against the horses. If you're into that, I think you could deal with race cars and bikes and things like that some you can fix. I mean, they have hard rules there, too.
Yeah.
I mean, but this is live animals, and I really think...
Ask a certain bicyclist that question.
You know, he didn't know anything. So
no,
finally,
he didn't know what he was doing.
Finally,
he
remember it after that many years.
Yeah.
But now I'm all for it, and, you know... Since our product and can be used up to the race, it helps us, of course. I know a lot of people use it, maybe not that much on the racetrack, some they do in the riding business, you know, the top riders.
You know, you've been advertising with us for a lot of years, and we've been talking about your products for a long time. But for those that, you know, are new or new to our show, what is it in the material? What makes the magic happen?
Well, our material called Weltex, and what that do to reflect your own body warmth back, like a far infrared or some increased blood circulation. And increase the blood circulation you get if you ice them, you put liniments on, and if you use our stuff, you know, poultice and things like that draws out the heat, and you know, any injury you need to increase the blood circulation.
Right.
Our product you put on and go home, and hopefully you have a better horse next day.
And it's the infused fabric that doesn't actually... There's nothing going into your horse that could possibly test.
No, nothing.
It's TSA approved. I can get through the airport with back on track products.
Yes.
Saying something.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, so it's an easy product to use, and you know, it's infused in the thread, so you can never wash it out. I mean, you can wash it. The product will fall apart before the effect starts stopping.
So even if you're a laundry fanatic,
you can wash it every day.
You know, I think we're beyond the point too. Although you really started this line of products, this type of products here. And I know what you were battling in the beginning was people weren't believing it. It was hocus pocus. It was, you know, but that's all seemed to have gone away now, and people are buying it, and they see it work, and I think that's what convinces them.
Yeah, and, you know, we have for themselves, they try it on themselves for the horses, and they see the difference. And, you know, like I always said, the best advertising you can have if somebody tells a friend, right. that I used it. I mean, right. I can't talk to somebody all day long and they say, yeah, you're selling the product. Of course, I will talk good about it.
Yeah.
But if, you know, if they help your friends mm-hmm. back, you're going to tell somebody else sure. and he's going to tell somebody else. And,
yeah.
and you know, that's exactly what happened here on the network, too. Dr. Wendy Ying, the host of the Driving Radio Show. She hurt her back. She drives four in hands, and the one day she hurt her back, and somebody gave her one of your back braces.
Oh, okay.
And she doesn't do anything without it. Yeah, I mean, yeah. she just loves that yeah. thing, but it was because somebody gave it to her. She didn't know anything. She didn't yeah. know why it worked.
And she got the sheet for her horse.
You know, and she's a yeah. veterinarian and a traditional Chinese medicine doctor, yeah. and she got the sheet. She got the mesh sheet now, and, you know,
oh, yeah,
she's
yeah, convinced.
You know, that's how people learn. And then you put away everything, that all the doubts you had when you actually see it work.
Yeah, 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 they do. I mean, unfortunately, we don't have the miracle thing. It's together with other things, chiropractic, acupuncture.
Right.
And other, I mean, I always be...
Yeah, you're not saying use this and nothing else.
No, yeah. no. And, I mean, there's a place for injection of the veterinarians and other things that have to be done, too. You may be... can go longer. I know the riders tell them they
right.
can go longer in between treatments and things
right.
like that. So, yeah, it's all combined. I mean, you just have to figure out what's right. good for your horse. But, you know, with the drug testing, I think it's a good thing for, you know, they have to stand there and take what we give them. And if we give them something that is harmful, you know,
right.
that's... You're in the wrong business to me. I mean, like,
and it's what I've always said. You know, if everybody's playing on the same level playing field, if nobody can use LASIK, then everybody's on a level playing field
yeah,
again. Yeah,
yeah,
maybe we aren't breaking world records,
yeah.
you know, or maybe, you know, we aren't doing what we quite did before, but we're all on a level playing
yeah.
field. And as long as we play on that playing field, as long as everybody's level, then... And we have this isn't just in racing. We've been picking here a little bit on racing, but
yeah.
whether it's reining or eventing or dressage, it doesn't
yeah,
matter.
No.
Yeah.
And you know, like, I'm all for it, not for I have the product. I always have been for the natural way. I believe that more in... And, I mean, you go to the doctor, say you have bad back, he give you a painkiller.
Right.
But, you know, take care of the problem then, but they don't solve the problem.
No.
Didn't fix what started
no,
the pain.
No,
and, yeah. and you think back years ago, chiropractors were sort of voodoo doctors
yeah,
at that point. And now everybody's going to chiropractor and discovered that they weren't.
Yeah.
You
know? And, I mean, my better half, she's a veterinarian. And she used to do the regular vet work, and now she has to do acupuncture and chiropractic in Pennsylvania and Jersey. So, yeah, no, she, I mean, I've seen what she did.
And those people are tense up there. They need all the
yeah.
chiropractic help they can get.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are tense people.
Oh, they are. So, but I mean, the racing business, if you go back there, and even the show horses, they're really cracking down on it. And, you know, mm-hmm. the guy at the Meadowlands, Jeff Corral, he's doing a great job. He, you know, people some show up positive. They're not welcome to race the horses there anymore.
Yeah, and we're going to see more and more of that.
And that's
yeah.
what it's going to
yeah.
take.
Yeah.
It really is what
and,
it's going
to
take.
I believe that for, like I said, you really have to think about the horse. When it comes to money and victories, people is going to try to get the edge over everybody.
You know, I think Americans sometimes think that that we have an edge over Europe because, you know, we care more and we blah, blah, blah. But that isn't true in this case.
No, I mean, Europe, some countries, actually a lot worse than U.S. You know, like, I'm not going to say any
yeah.
countries if I'm going to get somebody be mad at me. But, I mean, there's a couple of countries over there some is worse. I mean, Scandinavian, they have a cell, like I said, zero tolerance. And
yeah.
and I don't know how it is. I think that's the same in the riding business there. And, I mean, they pick up micro, say, if they lick on the cross ties and the horse hadn't been medicated, they pick it up. And
yeah.
you can
it's,
you know,
it's
get
crazy.
The air. And yeah, I mean,
well, and the less of those products you need to keep in the presence of your FEI and higher level horses, the better, because of that risk.
Yeah.
Because you can get a positive even though you didn't intentionally or even accidentally
that's
give an
happened
animal
a lot,
something.
Actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I mean,
so,
it's easy.
Yeah.
You may be...
a contact buzz, as it were.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
you put the... If you don't clean out the stall and you had a horse on medication and they dropped a little bit on the straw or hay,
mm-hmm.
let a horse eat it.
And
you,
yeah.
you kind of...
And the products that you carry nowadays, you've got such a wide range... you don't have to be a professional groom to use the product safety. You have hock boots that have Velcro on them. They're simple to put on. You have sheets that go on just like any other sheet, so your horse can get the benefits from that fiber.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things, too, that we focus on competition horses, but if you trail ride for long distances and you have the horses in the backyard, you do like Jennifer and ride for 2 or 3 hours, you know, these products are perfect for that as well, and competition.
No, it helps any horse and any person with a little bit of aches and pain, and any horse you have arthritic joints, I mean, young or old, they have some problems if you ride them, you know. So, yeah, it can be helpful, yes. But like I said, you can't tell the veterinarian stay away. You can't tell the chiropractor stay away. You have to still work with them. But you maybe can go a little bit longer in between the sessions.
But why not let your horse feel better?
No, absolutely.
Throw the sheet on while he's standing there in the horse trailer anyway.
And it's not expensive. I mean, a sheet is $269. Yeah, if you compare to a regular sheet, it's expensive.
Yeah, but that's two vet visits or one.
A half, I should say, maybe.
Your wife, anyway.
You know, I believe in all the natural thing, I must say. And our product is a natural thing, and it's fun for people to come up and say, we love your back brace. We love, you know, your saddle pad. We love this and love that. Yeah, of course, we have somebody who said it didn't work anything. But like I said, it's not going to work on everybody the same way.
Well, before we let you go, just one personal question. Do you miss racing? Do you miss that, doing that?
Yeah, I'm actually a little bit back in the front.
Are you? Harness or
scoop?
Oh, are you driving again? Are you behind the cart?
No, that I'm not doing again. I let them guys know what they do, and I did that when I trained too. So, but I bought a yearling last year, and I bought a broodmare here for a couple of weeks ago.
Back in the harness race.
Tell us about your yearling.
Not much to tell.
Well, who's he by?
No, Glide Master out of a pretty good, it's good family, but we trained her down to like 220, and then she'd grow so much. I said, let's turn her out.
Give her a break?
Yeah, they go so fast, okay. The 2-year-olds, and that family is a late family, so figure 3 and 4-year-old is. See if we can get some of the money back.
Are you going to keep us informed of how that's going? We'll follow you?
Absolutely.
All right, good.
Very excited.
I'm
awesome.
Excited about that.
And if you want a piece, you can get a piece. Just take the expensive.
Okay, how about if I just wager on here?
Does she have a name yet?
Yeah, she do. Gliding Cash, and it's very suitable.
Oh, no.
Gliding Cash?
Yeah, but it's...
Spending Cash?
So far I've been out and not in. It's going to Cash
Glider. Gliding downhill
right
now.
Like most horses.
Well, that's cool. Congratulations.
Well, yeah. Thank you.
backontrackproducts.com. So that was Bo from Back on Track Products. We appreciate him being a sponsor, and it's always fun to get caught up with Bo and hear his opinion on different things when it relates especially to racing and harness racing, which he was so familiar with. You are listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Coach Jen today, and we're going to be wrapping up the show, a shorter show for you today. We're still recovering from our trip. And we have a bunch of other shows to record today for the Horse Radio Network. We do want to make sure that you know that tomorrow morning, the girls at Fitz have agreed to give away your choice of a pair of Fitz breeches to the first winner of the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia tomorrow morning. So should be sure you call in right at 9:05, get in line. And I don't know, Jennifer, does that mean you have to make the questions harder?
I don't know. That might be. There won't be any multiple choice. Although that doesn't seem to help our listeners.
No. I mean they they get to, you know, they're always smarter than we think. So when we think we have hard questions, they always get them right. So we will be here, and Jamie will be back tomorrow morning as well. So you can look forward to hearing Jamie here. She'll be here tomorrow and Friday. And of course, get your ads in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com and put really bad ads in the subject line. Get your ads in. We would appreciate that. I know that you have some in there, but we can always use more ads for Friday's segment. Did I miss anything? Blaze Kids Radio will have episode number 2. We're recording that this week. We're really excited. If you haven't had a chance to listen to the first episode of Blaze Kids Radio, hop on over to the Horse Radio Network and you'll see it on there or in the app. It's in both apps now, whether you're iOS or in the Android store. I know a lot of people are listening to our shows on the apps now, and that's nice to see.
Download. It's free.
Go ahead and get it. I know thousands of you are, and we hope that you're enjoying that. If you have any trouble with it or any problems with it, let us know, and we'll get the app developer to make sure that we get that taken care of. I think that's it. We're going to wrap up today with a song. We didn't get to play a song yesterday, and we didn't get to play one yet today. And I thought, being that we were at the trade show we were at, and we were looking at products, and Jennifer was just going through her swag bag this morning because she got a swag bag, we thought we would play a song called Boots and Pearls by Adrienne, and you can find her at buckaroogirl.com. We'll see y'all tomorrow morning here on Horses in the Morning at 9 a.m. Eastern for the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia with lots of great prizes. See you, Jennifer. Thank you for filling in today. And, of course, you can find Jennifer at horsetipdaily.com.
Boots, that's what I wear. Pearls, seems fair with my jeans, diamond rings, and roses in my hair. I rode a bronc, he was tough. The boys all laughed, we drank a lot, too young. But you know, we were all just living it up and trying to have fun. County fair, dyed blonde hair, short denim skirt. Sometimes I don't get along, but I guess it's all good. In my pearls and my blue jeans, just like it should. And you know, well, a rose is only as good as its petals. You'll get burned if you meddle in love, love, love. Ain't it hard and ain't it funny? Ain't love sweet, but ain't it sunny? Happiness is freedom. That's something that I've learned. That's what I wear. Boots, that's what I wear. Pearls, seems fair. Roses in my